I'm Dr. Mark Menalissino. I'm a board-certified internal medicine specialist that also did advanced training in integrative, holistic, and functional medicine. I wrote the Heart Solution for Women because I just think we can do a better job. I don't think we've really done the homework to assess and address women's heart health. We just don't use the same tools that we do for men. So what I try to develop is a program that helps a woman to empower herself by looking at all of her health with a focus on finding out how to look for heart disease in women, and if you have it, how to personally develop a plan to reverse it. We're here in Jackson Hole, Wyoming at the Menno Clinic. You can find us at MennoClinic.com, MennoClinic, MennoClinic.com. And I'm very grateful to be here today.
Well, I'm grateful that you could take the time. Women often manifest heart disease in very different ways.
Pat, if you and I go to dinner and we both get chest pain, I'll get admitted to the hospital and get a full workup. You'll probably get sent home with heartburn medicine or anxiety medicine.
Mm.
It's so true that there was an episode of Grey's Anatomy where Bailey, the chief surgeon, had chest pain, knew she was having a heart attack, went to a different ER. Her tests weren't quite equivocal. Her heart EKG that wasn't positive, and so they thought it must be stress, must be something else. She asked for a second opinion, and they brought a psychiatrist. So, and yes, that's TB, but it's pretty much what we see in real world. Women just show up different, they present differently, and they're treated differently. They just don't get the attention they deserve.
Plus, as you mentioned, their symptoms can be masked by other things like pregnancy or menopause.
Well, classic, we see, you know, the story of a man with an elephant standing on his chest, and that's the heart attack pain. But for women, it can show up much, much differently. It can show up as nausea or abdominal pain or just kind of a feeling of dis-ease. It can show up as anxiety or even panic attacks. It just shows up differently than in the classic crushing chest pain that we see on TV in men.
Well, what do you suggest a woman do if she thinks she is having a heart attack and yet she doesn't have these classic elephant on the chest symptoms?
Well, as I tell everyone who I see in my hospital when I take care of people who have had heart attacks, if you think you're having a heart attack, you're never wrong to go get checked out.
Hmm.
If you think you might be having a heart attack and you don't get checked out, you might be dead wrong. The problem with heart disease is that the first warning sign in half the people that have it is sudden death. You don't get a second shot. So we really need to find those people at risk, particularly the women at risk. And there's a proven mechanism that we use in our practice that finds everybody at risk.
And what is that?
Well, what we're doing in medicine is very 1970s. The traditional cholesterol test and then breaking it to the good one and the bad one and developing a ratio to treat people is very bell-shaped curve, old-fashioned medicine. There's advanced testing now that breaks your cholesterol into the fine particles. There's small sticky ones and there's big bouncy ones. It's those small sticky ones, especially with the inflammation markers that we now have access to develop and choose, that we can see the pattern of who's got the bad-sized particles wrapped with inflammation. Those are the people at risk. So there's really a trifecta. It's the right blood test, and then there's also some imaging or radiology tests. For men, we do a CAT scan of the chest. For women, we don't like radiation of the chest, so we do an ultrasound of the neck. It works for men as well, but the CAT scan's better for men, the ultrasound's better for women, and it's called a carotid intima media thickness, or CIMT test. So those are the two screeners. Your cholesterol can be high, but if you've got the good pattern and no inflammation and your imaging's good, you're not at risk and don't need medication. So we find that the medications really only work for some people, but we're using old-fashioned technology to try to identify them. So we're giving the medicine that may help some people to way too many people.
Now, if you are a patient who now has this information, should you mention it to your doctor and then maybe find another one if he or she isn't listening to you?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And in my book, I talk about how to talk to your doctor. First, empower yourself with the information because most doctors don't even know about this advanced cholesterol testing. Most of them don't know about the advanced imaging. They're just relying on the standard cholesterol test and making a decision about what your risk is. And I think, you know, that's just so not individualized and not personalized. So in my book, we have the whole plan of what you can bring to your doctor, ask for the tests, they're not expensive, and get started on developing this personalized plan. My message to everyone that's part of the program. If your doctor won't listen to what you feel is important, then you do need another doctor. It's about a relationship you should have with your physician. The days of the physician standing in the big chair and telling you what to do are gone. This is a relationship. It's a mutual process. That's what healing really is all about.
I was fascinated by your list of external clues also that may indicate heart disease. Can we go over some of them?
Well, these are from my friends that I learned when I was doing my natural medicine training, nutrition, and Chinese Ayurvedic training, that they listen first, but then they look at the body. In the fingernails, you can see little white spots, which sometimes can be zinc deficiency. Around the colored part of your iris of your eye, there can be a blue line encircling the iris, and that can be a measure of high cholesterol inside the body. There can be little skin tags on the neck, and that's another sign of high cholesterol in the body. Kind of a hump behind the neck. It's not very flattering. It's called the buffalo hump. That's a sign of insulin resistance. Darkness in the armpits in Caucasian people can be a sign. So there are all of these things that you can see in the body. And then tongue analysis, you can see little shaped scallops on the sides, which can be thyroid. You can see grooves in the tongue, which can be B12 deficiency. Little patches, they call it geographic tongue, a lot of time food sensitivities. So there's a lot that the body has to tell us if we listen to it.
Well, a lot of times doctors don't spend enough time with you that they would even notice some of this stuff. I guess it would be up to us to point it out.
Well, that's just the beauty about information you're providing, Pat, is that we're really empowering consumers to learn about their own health and go to your doctor with a list of things, do your homework before you go. And a lot of times the visit, the average visit right now is down to 7 minutes. That's how much time you have with your physician to tell them everything that you need to do. So you're right. They do very cursory exams. They don't really listen, and they don't have time to look at in depth with these people.
But I think if you come in and say, hey, I read this book, and these are a couple of things, what do you think? Who's going to not agree to take a look at that?
I completely agree. Yeah. It's being empowered as a consumer and getting what you need out of your visit and coming with that information. And, you know, I encourage everyone out there to teach your doctor something and have them teach you something. But it's quite all right to come with a list of ideas and things and share them with your doctor, because good doctors are open to new information. They know they don't know everything, and they love it when people bring them ideas.
I was interested in this earlobe crease.
Well, this is fascinating. It's a 45-degree angle crease in the earlobe, and it has to be on both sides. This goes way back 3,000 years into Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine, where they knew it was related to, they called it the fire, or oxidative stress, or what we call inflammation, which really is at the root of heart disease. Then a pathologist in the early 1900s noticed that men that died of sudden heart attacks tended to have that crease. So there's nothing in medicine that's 100%, but this is a sign when I see men and women with the earlobe crease, particularly on both sides at that 45-degree angle. That makes me really hypervigilant to look for a heart disease in these patients.
And ruddy cheeks. Now, this is something that sort of makes sense.
Again, as someone even walks into my office, I've already done a 360 assessment on how is the body shaped. Is it the apple body type or the pear body type? It tells me about their insulin. It tells me about their hormones. The ruddy redness in the cheek tells me about inflammation. Is there hidden fire inside the body? Are they eating high-processed foods? Are they insulin resistant? Are they pre-diabetic? So a lot of times the skin will show that with this kind of ruddiness in the cheeks. It's just a sign on the outside of inside fire.
I was surprised to hear what you had to say about skin bumps and tags. I thought that was just a sign of getting old.
Well, as we get wiser in our years, no one gets old. Everyone, I'm 39 for the 26th time.
I see. Me too.
And it brings up a good point, Pat. You know, I don't want to live to 120, but I sure want to ski with my kids when I'm 85 and my grandkids. So I think it's about this optimal vitality through the years. It's not the number of years, it's the quality of years. And there are things that you can see, like these skin tags, and they come in a certain cluster. Once you know to look for them, one of the interesting places, they can be on the eyelids. And that's a type of cholesterol called triglycerides, or the fatty cholesterol. And they tend to occur on the eyelids. And it's a classic sign that we see. And these are all things we're taught in medical school. But, you know, in medical school, we get 20 minutes of nutrition disguised as scurvy and rickets. We just don't get nutrition in med school. And that's changing, thank goodness, but very slowly.
It's interesting that you should say that, because if you have a dermatologist, for example, and you go to the dermatologist and say, hey, get rid of these skin tags for me, they're burned off, and then that's the end of it. And then if they come back, you think, well, just a sign of aging, but this gives me a whole new way of looking at skin tags.
Yes, that's the beauty of integrative and functional medicine, is that we look at everything differently because we're looking at how does it relate to everything else. In medicine, we have all the silos. Every practitioner, every specialist only knows what they know in their silo. They're not able to really communicate and look outside of it. And I think that's, we have great doctors, great specialists, but we need people who can tie all of it together. And that's where your integrative and functional doctor comes in.
And where your book comes in, certainly.
Yes, thank you.
You talk also about pharmaceutical companies.
Well, I worked in my master's degree with the clinical trial looking at depression medicines, and I got a good inside look. And, you know, we need pharmaceutical companies. We need them to develop new medications. And when I have pneumonia, I will take a medication. And when I have a heart attack, I'll want that balloon procedure to open it up. So for acute care, our pharmaceuticals work fantastic. It's for chronic illness where they fail us miserably, I feel. The medications that we use for chronic illness have side effects, and really medications are best for acute problems. They just don't work as well in chronic. And for example, the first line therapy for diabetes is glucophage. It's a drug that helps insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. They've proven time and time again that lifestyle choices and lifestyle medicine, which is supposed to be done first, beats out the medication. But many people and many doctors go right to the medication first because it's just plain easier.
How would you sum up why you wrote this book?
Well, one of my passions is helping a woman get to be her best, and really men and women. Mm-hmm. Where's that vitalness that we've lost? And, you know, life is hard. Everybody's, you know, women are super moms, they're executives, they're working hard, they're caregivers, they're taking care of everybody else. No one's really supporting them, and the thing that gets lost in the shuffle is their health. So I like women to sit back and let's think of you as a symphony. You're this beautiful symphony of your thyroid, your adrenal, which controls cortisol and adrenaline, and your hormones, all mediated by the gut. So it's thyroid, adrenal, hormones, gut. If you get that symphony in harmony, women really do well. And a lot of these chronic problems mysteriously seem to go away, but we need to focus on the heart, because really when we focus on the heart, we're focusing on the brain. The same things that help keep the heart healthy are the same things that keep the brain healthy.
That was well said. Well, thank you for writing the book, and more importantly, thank you for taking the time to tell me about it this morning. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Pat. It's a pleasure talking with you.